What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around this neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter and get incredible results. If you're sick of dodgy influencers or people with incredible genetics giving you health advice online, you are in the right place because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet. We discuss relevant topics and we help you get clarity on these topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and bust myths. Coming up on today's show, I'll be joined by Jodie Breakwell to speak about nutrition and the importance of a good diet structure. But first, joining me in the studio is Edwina Jenner. Edwina, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? You okay?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. First of all, how was your journey in?
Super quick, actually. Not bad at all.
Local
and easy. Yeah, love being back in London, though.
Great. Perfect. So, Edwina, you're an online personal trainer for midlife women who wish to lose weight, build strength and proactively prepare for the physical transitions of aging and perimenopausal.
Premenopausal. Perimenopause.
Okay, yep. Perfect. Right. We're going to jump straight into questions, okay? Because I'm super excited about this one. What has been the reason behind you wanting to help women around the world with their physical health?
Because women are so much physically stronger than they realise. And I think we have forgotten our strength and we just can sometimes softly move into, oh, well, you know, aging, I'm in my mid-40s, I don't have the body or the energy that I had 20 years ago, so, you know, just leave it as is. And I am super passionate about helping women to build strength, regain strength, and then set themselves up for a really long, healthy, independent life. Free of injury and illness.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually second this. This is something I say to my clients all the time. Women can grow another human inside of them. Like, how incredible is that?
Yeah.
Like, I say this all the time. You know, physical strength for women is so much more important because of how it's going to benefit them long term, like you've just said. So I love the fact that this is something that you're passionate about and something that you do. So strength training, why is it important for women during perimenopause and menopause?
Yeah, so basically, as you know, we all start losing our muscle mass from kind of our mid-30s. But for women, that really starts to accelerate by our mid-40s, which is when perimenopause, you know, pretty much starts to kick in. So with that loss of muscle mass, we know that that starts to affect our metabolic health because, you know, muscle, lean muscle, we have a nice, healthy metabolism.
Yes.
So, you know, we're also prone at this stage of life because of the loss of estrogen. We then start to lay down fat stores quite differently. Mm-hmm. So instead of more around our hips and thighs, it tends to sit around our abdominal region. Yeah. And then that can become a very dangerous, toxic type of fat, that abdominal fat's visceral fat sitting around our organs.
Yeah.
So, you know, the menopause tummy is real, but not for the, you know, aesthetic reasons about gaining the six pack. It's like I want women to really, you know, improve their inflammation, digestive issues. And then, you know, as an aside, then yes, you know, your waistline does come down. But, you know, the health benefits are super important. So, you know, we start to lose muscle mass and then also we start to lose bone density as well. And so that makes us more susceptible to falls and fractures as we age and as we start to move into our 50s, and that, you know, once you have one fracture, it then, you know, you're much more susceptible to having a second fracture and on it goes. So, so muscle mass and bone density for me really means independence and a long and healthy life full of vitality and joy.
Yeah. And I could, again, I could not agree more with you. I often say weight training is more beneficial for women than it is men by a country mile. Because not just of the aesthetic benefits, because let's be real, we see social media, right? And everyone goes, I want that body. But you know, why don't you just want to be healthier and live a little bit longer and have all these, you know, amazing benefits that come with.
Feel more energized.
Exactly. It's always aesthetics this, aesthetics that. And I think that's the problem, because comparison is the thief of joy. We keep comparing ourselves to others. Mm. I want their body. Well, you don't have the same hip waist ratio. Like
anatomy.
You know, yeah, you don't have the same anatomy. You have longer arms, longer legs, shorter legs, you know, wider hips, whatever it is.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's great to hear that you obviously, you know, feel so strongly about the importance of it. And it's the health benefits, isn't it? It's the strength training for not just the physical appearance, but that it's that, you know, improvement in bone health as well. That's something I'm so hot on.
Oh, totally. I mean, I had something this week where I actually almost had a really bad fall, and I just literally kind of missed a balance on a gusher. I was walking the dog and I was able to catch myself, but it was really interesting. But, you know, I took the full weight on my arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most prominent fractures tend to be in your shoulders, wrists and spine for older women. And it's like, as I said, once you get one fracture, you're more susceptible to another one. And yes, I was quick, but, you know, bone density is super important for aging well. And that is what strength training is all about. So you've got these, you know, really powerful health benefits. And then, you know, the aesthetics is the cherry on the cake. It's like, okay, it's nice to feel a bit more confident in your clothes and you feel a bit more toned and defined, and that's all great. But it's like, no, this foundation strength part is really important.
Yeah. So whilst we're on the topic of this, does weightlifting make women bulky? This is one of my favourite things, especially after 40. Or is it just a myth?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like it would be nice, and I say it's like, I'd love to see you try, because it's like I've been weight training for over a decade now, and it's, you know, you have to train like an Olympic athlete, and you have to eat like an Olympic athlete, and you've got to be so on point with your protein. It's like it's not even a concern. Yeah, but I appreciate that they have these 1980s bodybuilding images in their head, which women were fed, and it's like that's just not even on the table.
No. And even then, we don't know what sort of anabolics these individuals are taking, because that's still rife in females. Yeah. Like, there is. I know females that take things like Anavar or anabolics, and it's like people don't realize, like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Women taking testosterone or, you know, performance-enhancing drugs. Anyway, what does future-proofing the body mean in midlife?
Future-proofing the body in midlife is about that independence and free of injury and illness. And this is what I guess is probably my real why behind why I do what I do, because I want women to move into their second act with complete autonomy about how they live their life. And having a strong body with a good amount of lean muscle on you is a good indicator that you will be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so regular strength training means that you won't, you know, you can pick your luggage up, you can, you know, reach for things, you can go for long hikes and walks, but, you know, you don't want to be the person that's at home going, well, I can't do this because I've got a bad back, I've got bad knees, I'm carrying extra weight, which means that I can't, you know, do as much as I would like because I don't have the energy. It's like, you know, you want to be open to all the wonderful things that are ahead of you, not closed off because of your body won't allow you to do it.
Well, my favorite thing in the rehab world was use it or lose it.
Mm.
Like with any injury, you know, that, you know, I shouldn't move, I'm injured. Why not?
Mm.
Unless you have a break, like the new protocol is police. So like optimal load is one of the, one of the parts of this acronym. So, you know, it's important to use our bodies because we do lose it.
Absolutely. And as I said earlier, it's like, and that muscle loss is accelerated in perimenopause, you know, that loss of estrogen. It's like we are losing muscle at a heightened rate. And it's like, you know, I often encourage women, if they're sort of sitting on the fence about strength training, it's more like, well, what will your life look like in 6 months or 12 months? You know, as more months roll by and you're not lifting weights.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest things that needs to be pushed, really. I know obviously that's you, and that's something that I definitely push. But I wish more people kind of realised that.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the education that people have is really poor. However, I do feel that the news is pushing more on health and fitness.
Yep.
There is more and more stuff coming out.
Yes.
But it's probably out there to benefit medical companies and, yes. And whatnot. But anyway, so we have brushed upon strength training and why it helps the body, okay? It improves, obviously, joint pain, fatigue, and other common symptoms. We've mentioned bone improvement density. Is there anything else that it might improve, you know, mentally?
Yeah, absolutely. And stress is number one. So yeah. I sort of have this 5-point framework, really, which is stress, sleep, strength, sustenance, and soul.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, if we can get our stress under control, because again, particularly in midlife, we've got, you know, long-term marriages and kids that are older that kind of need us and don't need us, and you know, money stress and job stress, and then all to the background of, you know, these hormonal fluctuations that are happening in perimenopause. And so, you know, women quite often have very heightened cortisol flooding their body, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult to make good decisions in life if we are constantly in reactive mode and we're just constantly putting out
yeah.
fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so strength training can go a really long way towards helping to calm your nervous system. And I think it can, I quite like the fact that strength training is very repetitive. You know, I'm a very classic trainer. Mm. You know, I'm a rinse and repeat. It's, you know, it's that squat, it's that hinge, it's push-pull, and a lunge and core and just variations on that, and that's what we do.
Proven to work.
It works.
Why are people trying to reinvent the wheel? It drives me crazy.
And you see these things on Instagram, these kind of girls throwing these dumbbells around, and I'm like going, oh, my God, that's like got injury written all over it. Like, what are you doing? It's like, do this and you'll get the six-pack. And it's like, no, don't do that.
No, don't. The six-pack is made in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And with strength training, trust me.
So, but yeah, so strength training, obviously, and then also it helps to release those endorphins and help with the cortisol.
Mm.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just hugely beneficial.
Yeah, nice. Okay, this is great. This is exactly what I wanted this to be, insightful information. Right, so we've briefly touched upon how hormones, you know, hormonal changes affect muscle and bone health.
Mm.
Can we quickly go back into that? And obviously, we osteoporosis, osteopenia, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, again, weakening of the bones as well. And then again, which women are more susceptible to the men? And I think that, I mean, that is just as something that I am as passionate about, because as I said, there's a very high percentage of women that once they do break or fracture a bone, then, and you know, you're susceptible to doing that again. And then if you think about that, so you have a broken wrist where you can't drive, you can't, you're relying on other people. And then that means you're also probably more sedentary, which then can lead to easier weight gain.
And upset, it's just because you're relying on others. You can't do what you want to do. That's another thing, right?
It's huge.
Yeah, it is. Right. So what signs show it's time to adjust a workout during perimenopause?
So what signs? So when you have been, I have a beginner strength training series.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of my women that come into my membership, you know, they haven't lifted weights before, or if they have, they haven't for a very long time. So I'm very much about getting them comfortable and confident on the mat, getting really familiar with the moves. And then I start to talk to them about, right, if you're going through a set and this is not feeling challenging to you and you can just comfortably do the three sets, I would like you to then invest in another set of dumbbells. And ideally, I'd like you to have a little set lined up in your living room so that you can start to feel by that second or third set that we're squeezing out those last reps. And I think it's very foreign. If you haven't done that, it's a very foreign concept.
Well, funny you say this, because I was actually speaking to producer Kieran earlier about classes and the importance of classes. And I actually feel that a lot of people will do a class and they will come out and they'll look at their watch, which lies to us, by the way, and they'll go, well, I've done 400 calories, but for years they haven't changed physically.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because you're saying you're going to a class, but you're just going to say you've gone. Now, doing is better than anything. This is my biggest thing to clients.
Yeah.
Never miss 2 days in a row. Just do something, a walk, a session. But if you're going to the gym and you are not seeing improvements and you're not seeing changes, and your first rep looks like your last rep, newsflash, it's not good enough. Mm. It's not heavy enough. It's not hard enough.
Mm.
Whatever it might
be. You need to get uncomfortable.
You have to be. I just say the easiest thing to do is if your first rep looks like your last one, do more or go heavier.
Yeah.
Because the science backs that anything from, I think it's 4 or 5 reps to 30 reps solicits hypertrophy,
yep.
which is building of muscle tissue. Yep. So technically, if you can get to 30 reps and it looks like your first one,
yep.
you just got to go heavier.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to build, and get
break
you stronger.
Down those muscle fibers and build them back stronger.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What's a good first step for women who feel too tired or overwhelmed to exercise? I think you definitely have the answer for this with what you do as well.
Yeah, we need to look. Action's going to come before motivation. Yeah, and there, just because I'm a PT, I don't wake up every day going, "Yay, I want to work out," you know. But I go through the motions, and some days I'm more energized and my workout's tougher, and other days it's like, do you know what? I'm just going to get on there and I'm going to do my session. But I promise you, as I say to them, it's like, my thing is, it's like, just commit for 4 weeks, mm-hmm. three times a week for 4 weeks. And I said, there is no way you are not going to feel the benefits physically, mentally, and spiritually within mm-hmm. yourself. You know, it's like it delivers. Your body's going to pay you back tenfold. So just little and often, but consistency is queen.
Yeah.
Consistency is queen in my world.
I love that. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do think consistency, you know, I've been saying this a lot this week. Never miss 2 days, you know, because it's the start of a new habit. If you're trying to break a cycle and you're trying to get away from old habit of you is, I trained Monday, I won't go to Tuesday, I'm tired. Wednesday, it's hump day, you know, I'm going to stay home. And then already you've missed twice.
Yep.
And then Thursday's already Friday, because we all know what Thursday's like when you live in London or you live a busy life. And then Friday, you're going out for dinner or you're doing this, doing that. And then Saturday, you can't, you're busy with the kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, you're like, well, it's Monday tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then guess what? You've only trained once.
Yeah.
And it's that vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So if you just say, I won't skip 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
You know, if that's your steps, if that's your water, if that's, you know, doing your classes, because you do three. So that's perfect, right?
Yeah.
That works out perfectly. So
that's showing up for yourself as well. And like you make that commitment and it's like, you know, as I say to my clients, it's like, you know, this is important to me and this matters.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not always easy, but that's all right. You know, that's okay.
Well, you matter, right? That's the thing. And that's one of my biggest things I say to people. You know, most women I work with struggle to prioritize themselves. Mm. They are always the second option.
Mm.
Well, newsflash. If you fall and hurt yourself, if you fall ill, if you have something terrible happen to you, who looks after you?
Mm.
Who looks after the ones that you love then, if you care so much?
Mm.
Look after yourself first.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It reflects on everything else.
You're doing it for the ones you love as well. Because again, because I'll say, you know, it's like you want to be to have all these experiences with your kids and your grandkids, and it's like we don't want to be tired and not energized. And it is hard with the hormonal fluctuations.
Yeah.
You know, it is a bit more uphill. But it's like if we just have a system, as I talk about this framework and a system in place, it becomes a lot easier and a lot more manageable.
Mm. So you mentioned that you do all your workouts home-based with weights.
Yes.
Correct?
In my living room.
Okay.
Yes.
Amazing. So how effective are home workouts compared to gym-based workouts?
They're super effective. I get, I do, in my challenges, we do 4 workouts a week, and I would say most of my women do 3 of them, and they can just choose which ones, whether it's glutes or full body, whatever they want to focus on. But incredibly effective. But as I will say to them, don't get comfortable with those weights. I'd like you to have a nice set of weights, and so that those last few reps are, you know, a bit uncomfortable and challenging. And yeah, absolutely, you can build strength from home. And I've seen too much evidence. I've got so many clients that like say, oh, I can't believe I can shoulder press an 8-kilo weight. I mean, and they're so proud of themselves, as they should be.
And so they should be, exactly. So they should be. So you've said how often women should, you know, strength train 3 to 4 times a week.
Yep.
You know, you can split that, you can do full body, you know, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yep.
You know, what exercises would you recommend or maybe avoid for this group?
Oh my goodness. I mean, the thing is that I always try and offer modifications if I can. Yeah, well, no, I do offer modifications, but yeah, I mean, in terms of the main exercises that I love, I mean, the squat, you can't go wrong with the squat.
Nope.
And the deadlift.
Can't.
And, you know, women often look at a deadlift and like, oh, but I've got a bad back. And I'm like, yeah, but that's precisely why you need to do the deadlift, because we need to get those glutes fired up and then strengthen the back. And so, you know, squats and deadlifts are my two.
And I couldn't agree more.
Probably then followed by hip thrusts.
Yeah, I was just about to say, for me, a hip thrust.
Because we're all sitting. We've got to get those glutes fired up.
You want to work them glutes. You got to use them. Use it or lose it, right?
Yeah.
Right, final question. What's the most important message you want women in midlife to hear about their health and strength?
Most important message is that I think what I started with, you're so much stronger than you realise. And honestly, 3 30-minute workouts a week can completely change your life, though in a much shorter period time frame than you think is possible. Mm-hmm. And what it's going to give back to you is tenfold. And you know, as I said, yes, the aesthetics is a cherry on the cake, but in terms of your bone health and your muscle health and how it affects your metabolism and your energy and improves your sleep and helps you to manage stress, it's like it's gives you everything.
Amazing. Honestly, you have been fantastic. Where can people find you? Thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website? Do you have social media? Please tell us everything.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. So Edwina Jenner Coaching. It's where most of my members find me. And then I also have a website, edwinajenner.co.uk. And then and you can join the membership there. And all through Instagram is pretty much the best way. Edwina Jenner Coaching.
Amazing. Edwina, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by nutrition and mindset coach Jodie Breakwell.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction: send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Have you noticed the way fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because conveying your message with sound is the most effective way to communicate to the players on the pitch that they're rubbish. And this works in advertising too. You see, research shows how brands that use radio to amplify their advertising are 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up because you just need to get that out of your system because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Joining us now is Jodie Breakwell. Jodie is a qualified nutritionist who specialises in creating programmes and changes people's perspectives on eating habits. Jodie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for asking. Thank you very much for joining me. another interview I'm super excited to talk to you about. We're going to dive straight into it, okay?
Okay.
Can you tell us about your journey into becoming a nutritionist?
Okay, so my journey actually kind of like starts with me. So I was back to uni now. Gosh, I'm showing my age, but a few years ago, I was 20 kilos overweight. I wasn't in a good place, you know, physically, mentally. My habits were, gosh, when I think back, just not where you want them to be. And I basically moved to Cardiff, got out of a not so great relationship, and I thought, right, this is my time to shine, sort of thing. And I kind of, there wasn't much out there. Like, it was only 4 or 5 years ago, but I didn't really have, you know, the resources, the knowledge, anything like that. So I joined Slimming World.
Okay.
Which, wasn't.
Cult? I mean, sorry, did I just say that? Sorry. Yeah. I mean, the so, cult. Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'll let you continue.
No, I think we all, well, I know a lot of us have the same opinion. So I didn't know much about nutrition. So joined Slimming World, lost some weight. But again, it just wasn't the best, let's just leave it as that, experience for me. And then, yeah, I kind of went on to like losing weight, but I knew nothing about nutrition, nothing about tracking. Mm-hmm. And then I actually won a 12-week program. Oh. And at the time, I was like, oh my God, amazing. This is going to, you know, I'm going to thrive. It's going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And unfortunately, it was kind of the opposite. It came with a lot of problems. It was very meal plan restrictive. For the first 3 weeks, there were only a certain amount of foods that I was kind of like allowed to have, and then every Saturday was kind of like a cheat meal for myself. So like, yes, I lost weight, but I also lost that bubbliness, that energy. Like when I look back at pictures now, I just think, oh my God, like I honestly don't even recognize myself. And it came with a lot of disordered eating, a bad, you know, quote unquote, bad relationship with food. And yeah, back to your question, I kind of went through like this massive journey. And then one day after healing that relationship, because I pulled myself out of that, and I'm really proud of that, because I think I could have gone down like a darker path. If
you
I'm
should be proud of yourself,
you.
By the way, it's amazing.
Oh, thanks. So I kind of got myself out of that, learned about nutrition, did all these qualifications. And honestly, one day it genuinely was like a light bulb moment. And I just thought, oh my God, like I could do this. I could actually help women lose weight, but whilst enjoying their favorite foods. And that is, like you said at the beginning, that is literally my ethos, is because I've been down the restrictive path and cutting out chocolate and pizza and this, that and the other. And so what I help women do is, yes, to lose fat, but build that relationship with food so that they're actually like loving their life again while still making progress and helping them avoid that path that I went down, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And this is absolutely music to my ears, because I have people start up with me. And they'll go a week and they'll go, oh, I avoided cake today. And I go, why? And they're like, oh, because cake's bad for you. I was like, is it? I was like, why is it bad for you? And they'd go, oh, is it not bad for me? I'll go, well, if you eat a whole cake, it's bad for you. If you eat a whole field of vegetables, that's bad for you. Like, too much of anything is bad for you.
Yeah.
But everything in moderation is absolutely acceptable. And I love the fact that, I don't love the fact that you had to go through this journey for this, but I love the fact that where you are now in your journey, and that's exactly what you teach, because this is what we want, people. This is what we need from health and fitness experts, people that are experts in their department, teaching us healthy habits. So this is amazing, okay? Absolutely love this. So I'm really, really glad you're here. What would you say is the most common misconception people have about a healthy diet? I don't like using the word diet, by the way, but we're going to say
healthy diet. Yeah, no, neither do I, like, in quotations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Healthy
no, I get you.
Diet.
If I'm honest, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that there's like one perfect way to eat. Do you know what I mean? I think that people think being healthy means, like you just said, never touching cake or pizza or ice cream or like cutting out carbs. That's like a massive one.
Oh,
and, we'll you know, living off salad and things. And I just believe that if you stick those foods in like a box and you like label that box, like, I don't know, like banned or off limits or whatever, that is not a sustainable way of living. Like, we cannot live, and why would we want to live life without those foods? So I think like people think they need to go into this like massive, like all or nothing, get rid of all those foods mentality, when in reality, I think it's more about balance and consistency and what actually fits like into your life. Because I just feel that food, as you, it should be enjoyable. And I think if it feels like a punishment, it's not going to last. It's just not going to be sustainable for you. So I think it's like trying to wean off kind of like those strict rules and more like build in like habits that you can actually stick to long term.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a big advocate for, if you can change your lifestyle, it fuels the mindset. And if you can fuel the mindset, it changes your body.
It literally just links in together.
It literally all happens, okay?
Yeah.
And by lifestyle, I mean, you know, moving a little bit more, eating a little bit better. But again, it's not eating a little bit better. It's not having 4 takeaways a week, or not going out for 4 meals or 2 meals a week. Because, you know, I never have requested a client to eat chicken, broccoli and rice.
Never.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love a normal, simple meal from time to time. A couple of times a week, great. You know, but if you don't love it, you're not going to stick to it. So newsflash, if you're not going to stick to it, how are you meant to change your life?
Yeah, literally. And I think that kind of like links back into like the quick fixes. Like they're literally labeled that for a reason, because it's a quick fix that is, it's, you know, maybe going to get you to a place like I say, that program did for me. But then it was like, then what? You can't live a life continuing to problems. Just eat that food. Yeah, so it's just like you're then in this place where, and I think that's where a lot of the women I coach, they, you know, are stuck with emotional eating or yo-yo dieting. So they can lose the weight, they can get the weight off, but they can't keep it off.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what you're saying there, really.
So we'll go on to this topic, because this is actually quite an important one. So how do you recommend balancing macronutrients, like in a daily meal plan or in a daily breakdown? Like, what would you usually recommend for people? Obviously, you know, anyone, everyone's different, but like, what would you genuinely recommend?
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, again, it depends on you and your lifestyle, but personally, I feel that planning for the week ahead it just really helps with that stress and that overwhelm, and you can just feel more in control for the week. Even if you're not able to, you know, plan meals, because people say like, oh, I haven't got time to make this, that and the other, even if you have like different protein sources cooked up in the fridge and like a veg medley or whatever that you can then kind of like put together. But I like to explain macronutrients or macros to my clients as like a team, if that makes sense. Like, each one of them has a role, each one of them has a place. And I think, again, like, carbs have been demonized, fats have been demonized. Like, we know protein is, we know how important it is, we know, you know, the benefits, and obviously it being the most satiating macro, that's going to obviously help with fat loss and things like that. But I think it's just important to remember that carbs and fats, they have their place as well. You know, particularly for, you know, healthy fat supporting hormone balance and stuff. Like, I primarily work with women, and carbs as well. Like, when I think, like I say, looking back to those pictures, I think one of the reasons I feel I look so drained and deflated, a little life in me, was because carbs is obviously the main source of energy, and I was barely having that. I wasn't having that fuel, that energy that I needed.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so I think that like incorporating all of them is key. So, you know, if you're thinking about like breakfast, for example, like any ladies out there that are listening that are just grabbing like a slice of toast for breakfast or something like that, like, yeah, you're getting like a little boost of energy in the morning. However, thinking about your balance of macros, like maybe you could have that toast, but with some egg and avocado and some turkey bacon, just so you've got like the team working together. And so, but yeah, I definitely think that looking, even if it, like literally just 5-10 minutes, just sit down and have a think about like what you want to get in, what you've got in the fridge. So I think that planning something really last minute, it's going to be harder to tick all those boxes.
I think for me, I always make sure I have a source of protein, like you said, in the fridge, cooked, uncooked. Yeah. It's there. It's ready. Okay. I've got frozen prawns in the freezer for an emergency, unless I fancy a beef and prawn stir fry or something really fancy. Okay. And I've always got microwavable rice. And if I don't have veg, fine. I don't have veg, but I can have veg another time. You know, if I had to rustle something together really quickly, I've always got options. I've got noodles and stuff like that, so there's always, always an option. Frozen jacket potatoes, always an option. Really easy to do. So, like, just simple things like that. But, okay.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between clean eating and eating whole foods?
So, I'm not sure what your... I'm not sure what your opinion is on this, but for me, like, whole foods, right, going into the supermarket, that's foods closest to the natural state, isn't it? Like,
from
if you
the
go
ground,
in
and yeah,
up, like, come from the ground, you know, so like sweet potato, well, fruit, like fish, that kind of thing. Clean eating, I don't like the phrase. I just don't like it because I feel like it's more of like a trend, if I can say that.
Yeah, no, you can
I just
say
feel that,
that
like, it can cause a bit of a problem because, again, it's labelling foods as, like, good and bad, clean and, like, what's the opposite of that? Do you know what I mean? Dirty. Like,
you've hit the nail on the head, yeah, technically. What are we going to eat? Dirty foods? I mean, yeah, I'll let you continue.
Just bad. And then it can create, again, like, that shame, that guilt, and then you just find yourself in, like, the same cycle. So, yeah it's just... I mean, I'm not sure what your opinion is, but I feel like there's quite a substantial difference between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm yet to have a disagreement or argue with someone on a show before. but, you know, obviously, if I have a different opinion, then I would disagree. But I totally agree with you. I mean, I think we've both hit the nail on the head multiple times. Balance.
Yeah,
balance.
Literally.
Sprinkle
balance,
everything in.
Say all the time, balance is key. Moderation.
Stuff
is
from
key.
The ground, great. You want a cake? Great. You want some ice cream? Great. Just don't eat the whole tub and the whole cake, and you're probably great. You'll be absolutely fantastic. So, yeah. Going on to that, portion control. How important is portion control when trying to maintain a. I've put healthy weight, but. Obviously, we're not going to go off what BMI is because I'm technically morbidly obese. I'm 125 kilos. I am not morbidly obese.
Yeah.
So we'll go with not the BMI grading and we'll just go with a healthy weight. We'll just stick with that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it does come down to portion control, doesn't it? Because essentially, when you're on a weight loss journey, I know it's just said time and time again, but like, you need to be in a calorie deficit. So
it's the only thing, right?
So like even if you're having like the quote unquote healthiest foods, but you're having obviously more than what your body needs, then you're not gonna be able to maintain your weight, let alone like lose it. I think that obviously everybody has different opinions on tracking and things like that. I think it's a really helpful tool. I don't think it's like a lifelong thing, you know, but I think to begin with, it's really helpful for helping you become aware of what's in food, how much you're eating. Like a lot of ladies that start with me, they think they're eating a certain amount of like consuming a certain amount of calories, and then they're forgetting about like their milk in their coffee, their olive oil on their food, like all these different things. Yeah. And then they're like, oh my God, I'm eating quite a lot of food here.
Yeah.
So I think that that can be like a really helpful tool. But the other thing, actually, thinking about like portions and just hunger in general, is another thing that I don't feel we, like, I suppose like a nation do enough, is actually paying attention to our like hunger and fullness cues. Like, how often do we come in from like a busy day at work and
guilty.
Sit in front of the telly? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sit in front of the telly, like it's natural. Like, I'm not saying that I don't do that as well, like, you know, but I'm, even me consciously, I'm like, no, like I need to start getting to like a better routine of like sitting at the table, like enjoying the flavors, the textures. And because, I mean, I was having a conversation with one of my friends the other day, and she'd said that she'd gone through like 5-6 biscuits without even realizing, because she was just like watching the telly and like not aware of, do you know what I mean?
My client did the exact same thing yesterday, and she told me that she went, I ate 6 lemon slices. But she was like, but I tracked it. I went, so? You tracked it. You were in your calories, you're in your macros. Who cares if you had 6 lemon slices? But I know what you mean.
Yeah. So it's just, I just think like paying attention to how full you feel and stuff is like helpful. Mm-hmm. And also, it sounds so simple, but like the size of your plate.
Oh, huge, huge.
You know what I mean?
Psychological games, honestly. I play psychological games with myself all the time when it comes to food and so on. Sometimes I cook 2 portions of food, and then I'll eat maybe a portion and a half, but I'll know that I'm not going to cook another meal that day. So technically I've cooked the 2 portions because that's all I'm having. So then I sprinkle in stuff before and after or during, and it's down to me. I don't have anything in the fridge on purpose so that I don't continue. We are actually really short on time, so we're going to have to call it there, sadly. I really wanted to actually ask you a couple more questions, but it's fine. We will have to get you to come back another time, because I'm sure we have lots more to talk about.
Yeah, I would honestly love that. I've really enjoyed it.
Good.
I've really enjoyed it.
Well,
so thank you for asking.
We've loved having you. Jodie, where can we find you online? Do you have a website? Do you have social media?
Yeah, social media. So that's my main kind of like platform. And my Instagram is Jodie B Nutrition. So if you know, you want to follow me, send me a message. Like, I love, as you probably can tell from today, I really love talking to people and helping people. But yeah, that's like my main. I am on TikTok as well, but like Insta is like, I'm still getting into grips with TikTok, if I'm really honest, like probably show my age again, but Instagram primarily.
Amazing. Well, Jodie, thank you again so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye. Right, guys, coming up after the break, we're going to be doing live TikTok reactions and listener questions. Don't go anywhere.
Foodbar Radio. Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness, and I need him to be kind.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Politics Uncensored.
The more alarming question is, what does this say to victims of these sorts of crimes which have been alleged on them? Essentially what they'll be looking at is two men who have a huge online influence, who say some of the most disgusting things online and spout off some of the, I think, most dangerous sort of ideas and narratives in the online space, that they've essentially been able to travel to the US while they're still under investigation in multiple countries.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this. Yeah. You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. This week I'm reacting to some more viral TikToks that claim to have the top 10 unwritten gym rules. Number one, bring a towel. I am guilty of this one. I do not bring a towel. However, in France, we are not in France, but in France, I'm going to tell you anyway. In France, you are not allowed in a gym without a towel. I'm not sure what it's like in the US, in other parts of Europe, or other parts of the world. There are other parts of the world, obviously. But yeah, so you actually cannot go in a gym. They will literally say to you, do you have a towel with you? If not, they will provide you with one, but you cannot physically go in the gym without having a towel, either for your sweaty body or to put on the seat. Okay, so bring a towel. I'm guilty of not doing so. I would say no, don't do it. Do it if you're smelly or you aren't particularly a clean person, but I don't smell. Smell of roses. Two, don't drop weights excessively. Guilty? Am I going to be guilty of all of these, by the way, guys? Like, the crowd is saying yes. So don't drop weights excessively. Well, technically, if you train correctly, you will be pretty damn fatigued. Now, we're talking, I'm thinking an overhead snatch. I'm not going to drop it from the whole height, but that's actually the hardest exercise to actually bring down. But like a deadlift, you know, it's, you know, I don't deadlift a trap bar or whatever, but I wouldn't technically drop it unless I was doing a powerlifting movement, which technically you would be in a powerlifting gym, so it would be acceptable. So if you're in a commercial gym, don't drop your weights from anything probably above the knee. Anything below the knee, I think, is more than acceptable, unless it's on a hard floor, then sack that off. Next, keep noise reasonable. I'm not going to make the noises that I made earlier to producer Kieran because they were pretty disturbing. But yeah, I think grunting is a very questionable thing to do in public. So yeah, we'll keep the noise down. I'm guilty of it because sometimes I'm going hell for leather, but in more ways than one. But yeah, keep the noise reasonable. I think we should definitely keep that down. Don't give unsolicited advice. I did this yesterday, actually. I am getting booed. So actually, there was a young gentleman with his mother. She was trying to teach him, and I saw him doing a movement extremely badly for his back, and I just thought, I'm going to be that guy. I was actually having a great session. I was feeling myself. I was in a really good mood. I wanted to talk to someone. And yeah, I just went, I'm really sorry, but can I give you some advice? And the mum was like, yeah, he's not going to listen to me. So I helped him. I used to coach youngsters back when I was younger, back when I worked in professional sport. I worked with some youngsters and I helped them learn how to do movements correctly to help them actually do the movements. And that's my biggest thing. When I do one-to-one sessions or I coach, I actually coach. It's not about beasting you. It's about making sure you do the movements properly and you activate everything correctly. So I think this is super frowned upon, which is exactly why I did it and most things I currently do. So yeah, do not give unsolicited advice unless you are trained to do it and they kind of look like they want it, and I'm pretty sure they look like they wanted some advice. I mean, I'm getting frowned at. I don't think they did. Right, next, don't hog equipment. Okay, now, this is going to tie in with don't sit on equipment whilst resting. So don't hog equipment. I don't know many people that would probably do more than 4 or 5 sets, maybe 6. So if you are sat on a piece of equipment or you are training with a friend and you guys think you're hogging the equipment and someone says, how long do you have left? Invite them in. Meet someone new. But don't hog equipment, okay? We all pay a membership. When people ask me, how many sets do I have left and I've just started, I often say, I've got 3 or 4 sets left, but I'm more than happy with you joining me, okay? Most people in the UK don't talk to each other in gyms. They're a little bit awkward, a little bit shy. That's fine. But I often say to people, please join me. I'm more than happy for you to share the equipment with me. I will take the weights off if we are lifting different weights, which I normally tend to. Not trying to show off, but yeah. So, respecting personal space. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. Don't stand on top of people in the gym. Like, you wouldn't stand on them in the shower, so why would you stand on them in the gym? I'm being looked at funny. Sorry. Depends what they're into. Dress appropriately. This is a huge thing. I see people in jeans and Birkenstocks. What are you doing? When has that ever been appropriate in the gym? If that is you, please ring in, come sit in the studio with me, and we will debate. Because that is unacceptable behavior. It's like, I'm going to put this in the same bracket as not wearing deodorant if you have smelly armpits. If you know you are a naturally smelly, odorous person, please wear perspirant, antiperspirant, please. Because it is a big, big, big red flag, okay? So if that is you, ring in, contact us, reply on Instagram, reply, anyway, I'm losing it here. Don't sit on equipment whilst resting. We've kind of covered this one as hogging. I have once said to someone, how many text messages do you have left? I got a pretty nasty look. I would not recommend it, but I also wouldn't recommend just sitting there. Yeah, I sit and rest on the machines, but when someone asks to share, I say, yes, share. Last one, wiping down equipment. Oh, gosh. Yeah, so I'm pretty guilty of... I'm pretty guilty of not really doing this one, and I'm going to run it back to the fact that I'm not a naturally smelly person. I have done, but we're talking maybe less than 2% of the times. I often wear a hoodie when I'm training, so like the sweat doesn't really go anywhere or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, not sure if I should be admitting this one, but I'm going to because I own my shit. You should wipe down equipment straight up. Wipe down your equipment. Oh, actually, I missed one more. Be on time for classes. So, yeah, you should be on time. If you aren't on time, there's no such thing as on time. There's no such thing as early. There's only on time. So, yeah, own a watch. Most of you have Apple Watches, Fitbits, Whoops, whatever they are. All of these gizmos. Be on time. It's rude. And this is an individual who's putting on a class for you, trying to help you. So please turn up on time. Now, we are sadly not going to have time for... Actually, you know what? A listener question. I want to start going to the gym lately, and I find myself getting a lot of content online about supplements and shakes. What supplements would you recommend? I'm going to give you this one really, really quickly. Creatine, electrolytes, protein. They're your three most important things. Electrolytes for hydration, creatine for cognitive and physiological benefits, and protein because you need protein. And that's it, guys. A massive roundup and a thank you to our guests today, Jodie and Edwina. I just want to thank you guys for coming today. You guys were fantastic. A reminder that you guys can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What the Health on Instagram. If you would like some help with your health and fitness journey, I provide a top-tier coaching service, no BS, problem solving and hand holding every step of the way. If you are interested, please contact me at George Burt on Instagram. The show will be available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. A massive thank you from me. I'm back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.